This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, back this Tuesday with another 60 minutes of radio drama for you. We're going to start off this week with Sears Radio Theater in their March 2nd, 1979 episode titled The McGuffey Connection. After that, it's Stand By for Adventure in the Swamp, an episode that aired sometime in 1950.
That's the theme from the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight is a story of adventure with Richard Widmark as your host.
Did you get that, Mr. McGuffey?
McGuffey. Get what?
I said the opium shipment will put in at Djibouti instead of Mombasa.
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
Screen that you puff around pollutes non-smokers' air. It's bad for kids and older folks with lungs not up to par. It's damaging for you, of course, but your smoke travels far. Your lung association says please keep this thought in mind. It's double damage all around and doubly unkind. So try to kick the habit and give everyone a break. Please do it for your life and breath and
Association and you know that cigarettes are a breathing hazard. Smokers, please don't add that extra offense. Give us a break for life and breath.
This is Richard Widmark. The man sitting in the small whitewashed room under the slowly rotating fan is Arnold McGuffey, an American. We're in East Africa. McGuffey might be poised there before a battered desk staring at an ancient typewriter for any number of reasons. He could be a hunter preparing to write a letter home about the kill. He might be a journalist about to write the first of a devastating series of articles on poaching. Or he could be a novelist composing the landmark book on man's attitude when he at last faces death.
Mr. McGuffey?
Not now, Miss Gennaro.
It will only take a moment.
Not now, Miss Gennaro. Not just right now.
The beautiful girl hesitates in the doorway, then impatiently waits as Arnold McGuffey strikes the keys of the battered typewriter.
To the Drug Enforcement Administration, Washington, D.C. Attention. General Director Dexter Hamilton. Subject, intersect of opium shipment.
Which answers the age-old question, what's Arnold McGuffey doing in East Africa? And that's only the beginning of our story.
Sears Radio Theater. A new adventure in radio listening. Brought to you five nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. Your hosts,
Lorne Greene. I'll bring you stories of the Old West and the New.
Andy Griffith with a look at the funny side of life.
Vincent Price with tales of mystery and suspense.
Cicely Tyson with stories about love, hate, and related things.
Richard Widmark. I'll bring you stories of pure adventure.
Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, The McGuffey Connection, by Ted Sherdeman. Our stars, William Shallert, Peggy Weber, and Ben Wright.
Come, spin the wheel of fashion. Discover a fortune of spring separates at Sears Junior Bazaar. Ah, silk blend skirt and pants in dusty pastels. A blend of polyester, rayon, and silk, making them easy care, wrinkle resistant. Top them off with white on white polyester and cotton blouses. Fashion is your fate at Junior Bazaar. Available at most larger Sears retail stores.
Convenience and security. The Sears Best Garage Door Opener is just that. Digital control lets you select your own key signal from 512 different transmitting codes. Sears Best Garage Door Opener has a vacation switch that'll lock out stray signals when you're away from home for long periods of time. Of course, when you're home, you won't have to get out of your car to open up that heavy door. Sears Best Garage Door Opener, featuring digital control, gives you convenience and helps you feel secure. Available at most larger Sears retail stores.
The word's out and spreading fast about the jeans from Sears Men's Store that grow beautifully. It's a sure sign they're feeling fine and feeling good. For the denim that keeps going strong a long time. Get them trim cut, regular cut, even get them pre-washed. The jeans that grow beautifully. Now at most Sears retail stores.
What would it cost to replace your car's muffler, including installation?
Oh, I'd say about $50.
No, wait, $45.
It'll be around $30.
Just about $40.
The aluminized Sears muzzler is only $19.99.
That's half of what I guessed.
It's hard to believe. On a Cadillac?
That's a terrific price, with installation included.
Yep. Should have known it. Sears.
The muzzler, just $19.99 installed. Clamps, if needed, 99 cents each extra. Sizes to fit most American-made cars. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii at most Sears Tire and Auto Centers.
It's almost as though they've been waiting for us. The stunning Miss Elena impatiently standing at the open door while Arnold McGuffey labors at his typewriter.
I can no longer wait. This will only take a moment.
Can't you see I'm busy? This is to let you know I have not heard from my contact yet, and now doubt I ever will.
Mr. McGuffey, please.
I have to get this report off to my boss, Elena.
That can wait. There's someone here who wants to study the termites in Kajiado District, and the aliens are due to emerge from the mounds in a few months.
I'm writing about intercepting an opium shipment due to arrive any moment, and she's talking about termites and... what do you call them?
Aliens. They are the winged male termites. And the person inquiring needs a teacher.
And I need a guard at the door to keep you from barging in. Winged male termites of all...
Can we supply a teacher? Answer, yes or no?
No. Now get out of here.
Maybe I'll send him to the International Center of Insect Physiology and Ecology in Nairobi.
Miss Genera, please just leave and close the door.
I didn't know termites had been around for 250 million years. My word.
Please advise how on earth, without my contact, I am to intercept, confiscate, and destroy a shipment of opium before it reaches Marseille in France to be converted into heroin. Your instructions used to be very clear. For instance, when you first gave me my orders back in Washington.
And we believe the freighter will first put in here, at Mombasa in Kenya. As you can see by the map, it's in East Africa.
Where's the ship coming from?
From Rangoon, that's in Burma.
I know where it is, Dexter. Why is it putting in at Mombasa?
Well, I don't know. The operative in Burma thinks the ship is going through the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, and then on to Marseille.
Who's the operative?
Well, that's top secret. Your contact will get in touch with you about the freighter's arrival.
And what am I to do in the meantime?
Well, we've arranged a cover for you.
Not like the last time, please.
What was that?
I was an American bullfighter in Spain.
Oh, that. Well...
I wound up being gored by a bull, Dexter, in Seville.
Yeah, I remember now. Well, you won't be gored by anything this time unless you bleed when you open a school book.
I beg your pardon?
You're to start a school in Kenya.
Start a school?
Yeah, that's right. Under the auspices of some church.
What church?
Well, we'll make one up. Maybe we'll call it the Church of Faith. What's funny?
That I should be a churchman running a school.
That's better than bullfighting.
Not much. And that's my cover, a school?
Yeah. I've arranged for the Army to supply you with a lot of self-teaching textbooks. Here's your plane ticket to Nairobi. You'll be met by one of our agents there, Perry North.
Does he know about this cockamamie cover?
No, no. Bring him up to date. And keep in touch with me.
Mr. McGuffey?
I'm Arnold McGuffey.
I'm Perry North, sir. Welcome to Nairobi, sir.
Thanks, but my name's Arnold McGuffey, not sir.
Yes, sir, Mr. McGuffey, sir. Did you have a nice flight?
Good enough. Why the frown, Perry?
You have several cases of school books. I thought we were to work on a drug shipment from Burma.
We are. Any word from the contact yet?
No, Mr. McGuffey.
See, the books are our cover while we're waiting. We're going to start a school run by the Church of Faith.
You? Yeah?
Wherever we please, Nairobi, Mombasa, wherever. I lean toward Mombasa.
It is cooler there because it is on the Indian Ocean.
It's also where the opium ship is due to put in.
Yes. And the school is to be our cover.
That's right. Can you imagine a couple of narcotics enforcers posing as churchmen and starting a school? You're not laughing.
I have a master's degree in education. It was once my dream to teach illiterates how to read and write.
How come you ended up a narc?
How come people generally end up doing something they were never trained for?
Good question. The point is, I have to clear the way to let the Church of Faith start a school.
I can help you with the authorities.
Good. Then to get in touch with the contact so we can act when that opium shows up. What now, Perry?
Oh, just thinking, sir. Maybe I'll finally get a chance to use my flashcards after all.
What are you talking about?
The school, Mr. McGuffey. The school.
Perry North was invaluable, both in clearing our cover with the authorities and in organizing the school. We took a building near the waterfront in Mombasa. From my office on the second floor, I had a fine view of Kilindini, the spacious harbor. I was observing various ships through binoculars one day when Perry North knocked politely at the door. Come in.
You heard yet, Mr. McGuffey, sir?
From the contact? Not a word. The names they give some of these ships. Humperdinck Rosnovik. And it's a cruise ship to boot. Imagine saying, I'm sailing on the Humperdinck Rosnovik.
Why I'm here? We need to teach the subjects the books don't cover, like riveting, welding, Kenyan economy, accounting.
We've got textbooks on accounting.
Yes, but they are in dollars and we are in Kenya. We use pounds here.
Ah, I see what you mean. Well, do what you want about it. It's up to you to run the school.
I think we should divide the school into three parts.
Three parts?
I will act as dean of the primary school, teaching illiterates to read, write, and do simple sums. Then we need a dean of the technical school and a dean for advanced education.
What is advanced education?
Anything that doesn't fit into the other two schools. Like typing.
So, line up your deans.
I have, but there's one problem. The dean of the technical school also wants to be a student in the primary school.
Wait, let me understand this, Perry. The dean of the technical school can't read or write?
No, Mr. McGuffey. But he's a genius at fixing motors, air conditioners, and so on. His name is Logan Peebles.
A Kenyan?
No. White, Englishman. He's employed at Kanatko Taxis.
Oh. And the dean of what you call advanced education?
She's Indian.
She?
Her name is Olena Janera. She's employed by the High Commissioner.
How come you picked a woman?
Well, I heard her on the Voice of Kenya one night being interviewed, and she said she was very interested in doing something for our country. So I contacted the radio station, found her, explained the school, and she's very pretty, too.
Uh-huh. That's why she's dean, because she's pretty.
Because she's bright. She also works part-time as a Red Cross volunteer at the Catherine Beebe Hospital.
Well, Perry, it's up to you. When do classes start?
Next week, I hope. Would you like to meet them?
Meet who?
The dean. They're waiting outside.
Okay.
Would you like to come in now? Mr. McGuffey, this is Miss Olena Janera and Mr. Logan Peebles.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
I have to get back to the hacks.
Mr. North explained you were employed by a taxi company.
For the time being.
And you'll get instructors and teach yourself?
So long as he can teach me reading and writing.
I can teach you, Mr. Peebles.
Do I have to join your church? North here said you were operating this year's school under something called the Church of Faith.
Oh, well, we are, but you don't have to join it. Nobody does.
Unless he wants to.
Oh, I don't want to.
And I cannot. I am Hindu.
And a very pretty one.
So I have been told, Mr. McGuffey, numerous times.
Well, is this it? Can I go back to my job now?
Absolutely. Just wanted you to meet Mr. McGuffey, head of the operation.
Oh, we'll see you next week, then. So long.
Goodbye. A few questions, Mr. McGuffey.
I'll try to answer them, Miss...
Gennaro. Olena Gerrera.
I can teach shorthand and typing in Swahili, Arabic, or English. Which do you prefer?
Well, take it up with Perry here. I mean, whatever you decide is okay with
and
me.
And I had some thoughts on the technical training. Things Mr. Peebles cannot handle.
Oh, well, what thoughts?
Refer students who want such things as mechanical drawing, for instance, to the Mombasa Technical Institute.
That's an excellent idea, Olena.
Miss Gennaro, if you please.
Miss Gennaro. Good idea, eh, Mr. McGuffey, sir?
Oh, splendid, Mr. North.
Mr. McGuffey, what are the binoculars on your desk for?
Well, I like to look at the ships coming and going.
Mm-hmm. Bon voyage, Mr. McGuffey. Mr. North?
See you next week?
Of course. Goodbye.
I'll see you back to your office, Miss Gennaro.
I have a moped, so it is not necessary, Mr. North.
You didn't tell her the real reason I was here, Perry.
Oh, of course not, Mr. McGuffey.
Well, then why the crack about the binoculars?
Oh, maybe she was just curious.
She's certainly pretty. I wish you luck. The school, Dexter, seemed to be doing a thriving business thanks to the efforts of Perry North, Logan Peebles, and especially Olena Gennaro. The three deans and I met each night to discuss the progress of the students, but I listened with only half an ear because I remained anxious about intercepting that opium shipment. Spent most of my time looking at the ships as they came into Kilindini Harbor. I also kept watch on the seagoing dhows in the old harbor of Mombasa for my daily walks to the bottom of Nkrumah Road. It wasn't until Perry North asked me to have a look at his class in illiteracy that I even began to take an interest in the school.
Now, class, pick up your pencils. I will show you a drawing, a picture of an object. Then turn over the card, and you will see the letters that spell the object's name. You are then to write the letters after I turn the card face down on this table. Clear?
Buona, teacher?
Yes, Stryker.
Are we to write in English or Swahili?
Either one, though I recommend you write both. The cards are printed in both languages, like this. English, and below it, Swahili. Clear?
Ndio, buona, teacher.
Okay. Now, here is a picture of a lion. Does everyone see it? Now, I turn it over and you see the letters. The first is in English. L-I-O-N. Beneath it is Swahili. S-I-M-B-A. Okay. Now, write it.
To look the height of fashion wherever I go requires many coats. But for home, I need only one coat fashion surrounding me. Sears Best Easy Living Interior Paint. One coat of Easy Living on the walls and every room looks stunning while I entertain or just relax. Choose from 24 decorator colors in Easy Living Flat Latex and Semi Gloss, plus bright white ceiling paint for your home. Because with Sears Easy Living Paint, all you need is one coat when used as directed at most Sears retail stores.
When my brother was my age, being in style meant wearing old jeans and about a pound of dirt. But today, us guys are more sophisticated in our style. And that's why Sears has Styleworks. A guy can pick up on the latest styles in jeans, tops, sweaters, and dressier clothes like vested suits. I can depend on the Styleworks shop at Sears for just about everything to keep me looking great. And the prices? Pretty reasonable. My folks like that. Styleworks. Today's style's all in one place. At most larger Sears retail stores.
K
Can't believe you owe the IRS that much. Well, when things just don't add up, you can count on a Sears desk calculator to help you. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Then read the figures two different ways. 12-digit lighted display and tape printout for your records. There's a two-memory system that helps ease multi-step problems, plus its many extras make it a great time saver. Now at most Sears retail stores. Sears two-memory desk calculator. Cut $25, just $99.99 through March 10th. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
What's the best way to save on new clothes? Sew them. Start by saving $40 on a Kenmore sewing machine at Sears with a convertible free arm for narrow sleeves, cuffs, and legs, a built-in buttonholer, even 6 stretch stitches. This free arm Kenmore, just $199.95, and save $30 on a wood veneer sewing cabinet.
Sale ends March 31st. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. Available at most Sears retail stores. Kenmore, solid as Sears.
Though the school was only his cover for the opium shipment he was in Mombasa to stop, Arnold McGuffey's interest grew after he visited one of Logan Peebles' classes and heard the Dean of Technical Education say,
"We're going to keep on studying carburetors till you learn what they're for, what they do, and how to fix them. Now, which one of you remembers how many different kinds there are? You there with your hand up.
Three types are used in internal combustion engines: surface, wick, and jet.
Correct. Now, what's this here thing here?
That's a metering pin, Buona Peebles.
He asked me, not you.
Why did you not answer him then?
Hold it! Break it up! Now, if that happens again, I'm throwing you two out of this class. Is that clear?
Indio, Buona.
Yes, Buona.
I have to go to my own schooling now, so my assistant will take over. You, okay?
Indio, Buona Peebles.
Now, if anybody gets out of line again, you come tell me, clear?
Yes, Buona Peebles.
Hello, Mr. McGuffey.
I just thought I'd look in on your class for a while, Logan.
Oh, sorry about that rumpus. We don't have them as a rule.
Sorry you can't stay.
I have to learn to read and write.
I know.
It was part of our deal, remember?
I know, and it's all right. I'll see you and the other two deans after school's out.
Yeah.
Logan Peebles was the Dean of Technical Education, although he was also one of Perry North's students. Perry, the Dean of Primary Education, had the largest class, nearly 50 adults he was teaching to read and write. The pretty Indian girl, Olena Genera, who was also the Dean of Advanced Education, taught shorthand and typing to a small group of Kenyans, Asiatics, and Europeans.
What do we give the students when they complete a course?
Well, I hadn't thought about it.
Don't you think you should?
Well, we can't give them jobs.
Of course not.
Maybe a certificate of some kind that states each student has completed whatever course he took.
They've worked hard, studied as if their lives depended on it. They should have real diplomas, a real graduation exercise. Do you realize these people have never graduated from anything?
Where would I get diplomas?
The same place you get those silly certificates you were talking about.
I don't even remember what a diploma looks like.
I have several. Or you can go to any doctor's office.
Well, bring one of yours in. Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Church of Faith?
Oh, yes. This is the Church of Faith.
McGuffey?
McGuffey speaking.
This is Dexter Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Excuse me, please.
If that means for me to get out, it is not necessary.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I wasn't talking to you. Well?
It is not necessary for me to leave.
What does that mean?
That's the second time you said that.
I wasn't talking to you.
And the second time for that, too.
What do you want, Dexter?
I have the contact for you. The name is Tawawa. You got a pencil?
You got a pencil?
Here.
The name is Tawawa in Mozambique.
Got it. This is private information.
Private.
Is he to get in touch with me or I with him? And where?
No, Tawawa will get in touch with you. Is there something wrong?
Yeah, I need diplomas.
Diplomas?
For the school.
Now, don't forget what you're there for.
I won't, but I still need diplomas.
Look, will you forget about the diplomas and let me know as soon as Tawawa gets in touch with you? That opium must be stopped before it reaches Marseille and is turned into heroin. Look, the line is noisy again. I'm going to hang up now.
Okay. Look, Miss Gennaro, when this phone rings and I ask you to excuse me, it means you're to let me have my privacy.
Under normal circumstances, I would let you. But this is silly.
What do you mean, silly? I was talking to my boss.
The director of the Drug Enforcement Administration.
The director? How did you know that?
Mr. McGuffey, what do you think we Kenyans are? A bunch of children?
Go on.
You are like many foreigners who think of Kenya as a nation of illiterate blacks in a land of big game for you to hunt so you can hang animals' heads on your walls. We all speak Swahili, but most of us also speak English. How many in your country are fluent in more than one language?
What's that got to do with it?
The Church of Faith makes us laugh. We have Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, and the mosques, temples, and churches to prove it. The Kenyan government was delighted to let you start a school, especially glad of Perry North's efforts.
But how did you know I was speaking to the...
The plans for that shipment of opium have been known for months. Kenyan authorities are on the lookout for it 24 hours a day, and not only in Mombasa, but up and down the coast, and in Nairobi, in case the smugglers try to send it in by air.
But it's going to... Never mind.
I know. It is destined for Marseille to be turned into heroin. Mr. McGuffey, we've known about it all along. But the school is more important.
Maybe a mapping outfit. Seems to me I saw one in Zanzibar Road.
What are you talking about?
The diplomas. Maybe a mapping outfit can make them up.
Good idea.
Listen, do you know the name of my contact, too?
No, but the Kenyan authorities probably do.
We'll keep this a secret between us about the opium shipment.
It is all right with me. The problem is, how does one keep a secret when hundreds already know about it?
Good question. Well, I think I'll go call on that mapping outfit.
And I will go to the hospital. It is my Red Cross day.
I suppose Olena Gennaro's telling me that she and lots of others knew of the opium shipment should have upset me, but it didn't. Maybe because the school had become important to me. I was now determined to give the students a graduation exercise they'd never forget. However, I spoke to Perry North in my office about Olena's knowledge of the opium shipment. He wasn't surprised.
As I said, Miss Gennaro is a very bright girl.
Did you know the Kenyan authorities were onto this, too?
Oh, yes, Mr. McGuffey.
Why didn't you tell me? You're supposed to be my assistant on this thing.
Well, I knew you'd find out in time anyway.
Excuse me, Perry. Oh, don't leave. Hello, Church of Faith here.
Mr. McGuffey.
McGuffey speaking.
This is Miss Tawawa.
Miss? You're a girl?
I was the last time I looked.
A girl?
I'm a woman, Mr. McGuffey.
But you're supposed to be my... Are you in Mozambique?
I am. And I'm your contact. The opium shipment will put in at Djibouti, not Mombasa.
Perry, has Dexter lost his mind using a girl to contact me?
I don't know, Mr. McGuffey.
Did you get that, Mr. McGuffey?
McGuffey? Get what?
I said the opium shipment will put in at Djibouti instead of Mombasa.
Yes, yes, Djibouti instead of Mombasa.
The change was necessitated by the activity of the Kenyans.
Does Hamilton Dexter know you're a girl?
He knows I'm a woman, yes.
And he hired you anyway?
Mr. Dexter has used my services before, Mr. McGuffey.
Maybe, but this could be dangerous. And you're a girl.
I am a woman, and I will contact you when I have a date for when the ship from Rangoon puts in. At that time, we can arrange a meeting in Djibouti. Goodbye, Mr. McGuffey.
Wait a minute. I wanted to talk to you. She hung up.
Well, perhaps she said all that was necessary.
I can't believe it. A girl contact. I mean, I've heard of women's lib, but this is ridiculous.
Why are you so surprised, Mr. McGuffey?
Supposed to sneak aboard some unknown ship or freighter or whatever they're using, get several kilos of opium and destroy it so it can't wind up on the U.S. streets as heroin, and she talks about going with me. What are you doing?
Oh, looking at the diploma you got from the mapping firm.
Oh, you know, I don't think it should have that heading, do you? Olena said the Church of Faith was a laugh.
She was right. It shouldn't read School of the Church of Faith. Maybe something like University of the Tropics?
Hey, how about calling it the Equatorial University?
Ah, I like that, Mr. McGuffey. Equatorial University.
And I want these students to have a graduation exercise that's meaningful to them, Perry. A valedictorian, a blessing by a man of cloth, a guest speaker. Do you think you could get the president?
I can try. The way his eyes lighted up when I told him we were going to teach people to read and write, I can try, Mr. McGuffey.
And each dean will hand out the diplomas. Hey, we're going to need something to wrap them in.
Ah, mine was tied with blue ribbon.
Mm-hmm. And how about the soccer stadium as a place to hold it?
Oh, just fine. When does the opium arrive in Djibouti?
I don't know. Tawawa doesn't know. Tawawa. A woman. A female contact for a drug shipment. Wait a minute. Rather than climb the walls, I'm going to order the diplomas and try to get a churchman to give the blessing. I decided to go to the Anglican Cathedral on Nkrumah Road and tell my story to the Archbishop there. A few days later, he gathered some five religious leaders together, and I explained what I wanted. To my amazement, they all wanted to give the blessing, claiming that the student shouldn't be restricted to just one faith.
What do you think, Mr. McGuffey?
But we only have room and time for one blessing, Your Grace.
Then it's up to us to decide who gets the job?
Well, yes, sir, but only one can do it.
I see. Does each of you gentlemen have a shilling?
Yes.
Fine, then we shall toss for it. Heads will be the first winners. Very well, gentlemen. Toss. Ah, you have tails, so you are out. And you, and you. That leaves me and the father here. Very well, father. Toss. Tails, you lose. Heads, I win.
Oh,
please remember, gentlemen, Mr. McGuffey came to me first. I could have just taken this assignment, but I did not. I called you all together here. It was resolved, fair and square.
The idea of five churchmen gambling to see which was to deliver the blessing on graduation day was a wondrous thing to me. And to Perry North, Elena Genera, and Logan Peebles when I told the three deans of the school about it.
They actually tossed shillings to see who got it.
They did. And the Archbishop won. So we'll have an Episcopal blessing.
At least I'll understand it.
So will the students, Logan.
The diplomas turned out fine, Mr. McGuffey.
Now, each dean is to sign them for his or her students.
We understand.
What about the blue ribbon to tie them with?
The Red Cross had only yarn at the hospital, so I got some ribbon from the Kenya Rayon Mills on Chongomwe. 20 yards of it, yay wide.
Good. How'd you make out getting a guest speaker, Perry?
The president will try to make it, but if he's held up in Nairobi, Mr. McGuffey, he'll send the vice president.
Good. Now, all we need to get is a place to hold the graduation and a valedictorian.
I think I've got one for you, Mr. McGuffey.
Who?
He read his speech to me and, well, it's important.
Who is it?
Stryker. The big Kenyan who broke up the dice game.
But he's illiterate, isn't he?
Not anymore, Mr. McGuffey. And the title of his speech, which he wrote himself, is What Education Means to Me.
Sears Radio Theater will return after this message from your local station.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. Are you looking for a nursing home? Well, here are a few tips. Start by getting a list of the licensed facilities in your area from your local health department. Find out whether they're certified to receive Medicare and Medicaid payments. Also, talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors who've placed a family member in a home. You see, it's important to visit a nursing home to check the facilities and the services. For example, food handling, patient care, in-service staff training, housekeeping, and patient activities. Now, before you sign an admission agreement, you read it carefully, including the fine print, and ask a lot of questions about what's included in the price. A number of nursing homes charge extra for such items as wheelchairs, air mattresses, and personal laundry. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
What if you went off to college and found that you were different from everyone else, and everything was designed for them, not for you? Suppose you went to the library and all the books you needed were in Braille, and you were the only one who couldn't read. You'd feel left out, wouldn't you? And what if you went to class and found that there were no chairs because all the other students rolled in with their own wheelchairs? Suppose one of your professors gave his lectures talking with his hands, only his hands, and everyone understood sign language except you. You'd think it wasn't fair. Well, that's how handicapped people feel now when they go to college and find extra handicaps. But things are changing, and we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. A public service message on behalf of the United States Office of Education.
Richard Widmark again. And here's the concluding act of the McGuffey Connection. Equatorial University.
Equatorial University? I was calling the Church of Faith.
Who is this?
Who is this?
Arnold McGuffey. Is this Miss Tawawa from Mozambique?
It is, Mr. McGuffey.
Now listen carefully. I am not a male chauvinist pig, but I won't stand still when they send a woman to do a man's work.
Correction, you are a male chauvinist pig, and it's not a man's work. It's anybody's work. I just happen to be a woman.
That's not my fault, and I will
meet you in Djibouti the morning of the 10th of next month. The ship is due at the port in the evening.
Have you heard what I said, Miss Tawawa?
Yes, I heard. Are you still interested in stalling that opium shipment?
Of course, but I'm...
Then meet me in Djibouti on the morning of the 10th. I will be at the airport.
Now listen. She hung up on me again. She hung up on me again.
Who?
Miss Tawawa, that woman. She said the shipment of opium was due in Djibouti the evening of the 10th. She expects me to meet her at the airport in the morning, Perry.
The 10th, Mr. McGuffey. Of next month?
That's what Tawawa said.
That's graduation day.
The 10th of next month?
You said it yourself, Mr. McGuffey, because it was the only day that you could get to soccer stadium for the graduation exercise.
I knew there was something.
And all of the students have been told about it.
That woman. Wouldn't you know a woman would throw a monkey wrench into all our plans? Hello?
Church of Faith?
Who wants to know?
Well, I, for one. McGuffey?
Yes. Oh. Oh, hello, Dexter.
You mad at something?
No. Yes, I am. Miss Tawawa just called me from Mozambique.
Well, about your objections, may I point out that Miss Tawawa is perfectly capable.
In your book, not in mine.
She has a black belt in karate.
Oh?
Yeah, she also scored higher than any man in pistol shooting. 99 bulls out of 100.
What are you trying to tell me, Dexter?
That your complaints about her are ill-founded, McGuffey.
You know what she just told me? That I was to meet her at the airport in Djibouti the morning of the 10th.
Well?
That's next month.
So what's your problem?
It's the 10th.
So?
Perry and I can't meet her in Djibouti then.
Because she's a woman?
Because it's graduation day.
Come again, McGuffey.
I said it's graduation day. You hear me, Dexter?
I think so. You said graduation.
Right, and Equatorial University is going to have an exercise our students will remember the rest of their lives.
Equatorial University?
Yeah. I got the soccer field, and the Archbishop of the Anglican Church is going to give the blessing. And Perry has a valedictorian who learned to read and write in his class for illiterates and... Just a minute. Who's the guest speaker, Perry?
Either the president or the vice president, whoever is available.
And a guest speaker, a high-ranking official of the Kenyan government. Then we're handing out diplomas.
McGuffey, will you be in Djibouti the 10th of next month?
I just told you, Dexter, I can't. It's graduation day. It was a bright and beautiful day when we gathered at the soccer field. A boxing ring had been set up for the graduation exercise, and bench seats in front of it were filled with students excitedly waiting to get their diplomas. Their families and others who'd come to witness the ceremonies partially filled the stadium on one side. On the boxing ring, the three deans of the school sat beside the archbishop, the vice president, and myself. The ceremonies began with a benediction from the archbishop. It was followed by my introduction of the vice president, who read what the president himself had written, then beamingly added some words of his own, complimenting the students and calling them an inspiration to all Kenyans. Then Perry North stood up.
It has been a great honor to serve as dean of the primary school of Equatorial University. It has been an additional honor that the man selected to serve as valedictorian was a student in the primary school. I now present your valedictorian, Juana Stryker, whose subject is What Education Means to Me.
I have wrote this all by myself. Many weeks ago, I cannot read or write anything. Now, I can read what other people wrote and learn what they think. Now, when I read how one man fixes his troubles, I learn how maybe I can fix mine, and I do not feel alone in this world no more. I know it is the only world we got, and most all the people in it are good, who have got in their hearts the same feelings as me. I was afraid in the beginning. The only thing I am afraid of now is I cannot live long enough to learn all I want so as to be as good as I want to be. That is what I mean when I say what education has done for me. Thank you, Asante.
Congratulations, Stryker. I'm very proud of you.
Bravo.
Asante Guanono.
It was a fine speech, Stryker.
Good going.
Asante Guano Peebles.
Missouri. Missouri Guano Stryker. Good, good.
Asante Guano Vice President.
Your attention, please. You who are to receive diplomas will please come up on the platform by those stairs on the left, Kushoto, and leave by the stairs over here on the right, Kulia. You will receive your diploma from the vice president, who will get it from the dean of your particular school.
Okay, Perry.
Here you are, sir.
Asante Bonanno. Buona people. I thought you were one of the deans. Dean of the...
Technical school. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm graduating from the primary school.
Oh, congratulations, buona people.
Thank you, sir.
Perry North's students were the first to receive their diplomas. Then came Olena Genera's School of Advanced Education, followed by Logan Peebles' pupils. It was when Olena gave a diploma to the vice president, who gave it to a beautiful Arabian girl, and my eyes followed her as she hipped her way to the exit stairs, that I became aware that you were sitting beside me, Dexter.
I gotta compliment you, McGuffey. You've done a good thing.
How long have you been here, Dexter?
No, I watched and listened from the stadium until they began passing out the diplomas. I wondered what that item was on your expense account.
Dexter, you didn't come all the way from Washington just to see a graduation in Mombasa or quibble about my expense account. Now level with me.
Well, frankly, I came to chew you out.
For not meeting my contact, Miss Tawawa, in Djibouti this morning?
Well, yes, that among other things.
Like firing me?
Well, not before learning more about this Equatorial University. After all, it was my idea for you to start a school. As a cover, I might add. Who's the pretty girl handing out diplomas to the vice president?
Olena Genera. She was recruited by Perry North and acted as Dean of Advanced Education. How about the opium shipment?
Did that big Kenyan really write that speech himself?
Yeah, he was a student in Perry's class of illiterates. How about the opium shipment?
Hmm? Oh, forget it.
Forget it?
Yeah, the ship isn't putting in at Djibouti after all. It put in for refueling at Majunga on Madagascar.
It's already put in?
Yeah, a week or so ago. She's a freighter called Colonial Lady. I suppose she's well on her way to Suez by now.
How do you know so much?
Ooh, from my operative who went aboard, found the opium, got it off, and destroyed it.
I didn't know we had an operative in Madagascar.
We don't. She flew over from Mozambique.
She?
Miss Tuwawa.
Her?
And since you get along so well together, I'm sending you both on an assignment to Hong Kong.
Miss Tuwawa and me?
McGuffey, it's better than being canned in Mombasa.
I don't know.
Well, think about it a moment. Miss Tuwawa is a very beautiful Eurasian. Filipino and Spanish, I think. Born in Manila. She'll meet us in Nairobi. If you decide to go, you leave from there. Now, tell me about the school.
Miss Tuwawa, Hong Kong, and me. Hmm? How did I ever make such a connection?
On guard. Effective fencing demands style and endurance. That includes fencing around your home. Sears Armadillo Chain Link Fencing has both, setting off your house and helping protect your home. How? For starters, Sears Armadillo Framework has three protective coatings that work together for a lustrous, highly rust-resistant frame. Gates even match the fencing design for uniformity. So call your local Sears soon for your free home estimate. Armadillo Chain Link Fencing at most larger Sears retail stores. The word's out and spreading fast about the jeans from Sears Men's Store that grow beautifully. It's a sure sign they're feeling fine and feeling good. For the denim that keeps going strong a long time. Get them trim cut, regular cut, even get them pre-washed. The jeans that grow beautifully. Now at most Sears retail stores.
Join millions of Americans and shop the easy way with a Sears credit card. All you do to apply is call toll-free 800-526-0444. It's your entry to shopping convenience and quality merchandise. Your card will be accepted at over 3,600 Sears stores across the nation. And you can choose from over 100,000 Sears products and services. Even use it for your catalog orders, in the store or over the phone. Just say charge it. Call 800-526-0444. New Jersey residents, call 800-652-2777 for your Sears credit card.
I've been working with furniture for 25 years, so I know about quality, and that's why I recommend a Sears Benchmade sofa for your family. There's a heavy-duty hardwood frame braced to withstand stress. The coil spring construction gives long-lasting comfort, and you can choose from fabrics and attractive solids or bright prints, all treated with Scotchgard brand fabric protector. Compare the quality of a Sears Benchmade with other fine sofas, and you'll be surprised. Styling, durability, and comfort. Benchmade, a great place to relax. Now at most Sears retail stores.
Listening to Sears Radio Theater, brought to you five nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. The McGuffey Connection was written by Ted Schurdeman, produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Richard Widmark. Our stars were William Shallert, Peggy Weber, and Ben Wright. Also heard were Shepard Menken, Richard Peel, Ray Tasco, and Jack Crucian. The music for Sears Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. Art Gilmore speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Sears Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Stop. Don't move. I want to talk to you. Yes, you who remain in your hot little rooms, never venturing out beyond your neighborhood. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of the strange and turbulent things that happen in distant lands, in places outside your own ken? For example, are you afraid of the sounds that a South American swamp makes? Yes, a swamp does make noise, you know. A selfish noise. A sucking noise. As if it were anxious to draw you to it and hold you there forever. Or is it the sound of a... the sound of a knife whisking across the room in a squalid house in Baghdad? Or is it the sound of the wind? As it cuts through the snowy Caucasus, kept company by... the single rifle shot of a guerrilla fighter. Now come, tell me. What are you afraid of that keeps you in your hot little room? Oh, you're not afraid at all. It's just that you haven't the time to travel. You haven't the time to become mixed up in some adventure way off in Mesopotamia or Ecuador or even the county jail. Well, I can understand you're not having time, but you don't have to travel, you know, to live through these adventures, for they'll be brought right into your hot little room, your safe little room, by means of your radio. So, listen to a familiar voice, a voice you know well, a voice you can trust, while he tells you how you can stand by for adventure. You there, striking a match. I warn you to be careful and keep your eye on the flame. A flame is not flame alone, you know. A flame has a spirit and a personality of its own. It might jump off that matchstick and leap across the room with no good purpose in mind. Did you say that was hard to believe? Well, perhaps. Dr. Juan Avillo can convince you better than I.
¿Cómo están mis amigos? This is Dr. Juan Avillo speaking. I hope you weren't taken aback by that strange introduction. And if I were you, I wouldn't ignore it either. For an unusual thing happened to me, which I will tell you about in this Stand By for Adventure series. The story of the flame spirit. I can even remember it now. I was standing in a jungle clearing with a water hose in my hand. This flame thing that looked like a man was rushing toward me. I played a stream of water on him and he fell to the ground. I kept the water running until every crackling tongue of flame was silent. And then I rushed to the spot where he fell. I was sure it was a trick, that this flame thing was only a man who was wearing asbestos clothing so that fire would not harm him. I was sure that I would find his flesh and blood body on the grass. But when I came to the spot, he was not there. The flame spirit was flame. And flame alone. And what I saw was only the charred grass. Charred where he fell, edge of a man. That is one of the many experiences I had and which I shall tell you about. Most of my stories will concern themselves with the occult and the metaphysical. For the worlds beyond our own have always fascinated me. I don't ask you to take my word for all I tell you. I only ask you to remember that I am an educated man. I was educated in Oxford and the Sorbonne. I am cultured, traveled, and, if you will pardon the cliché, sophisticated as well. I am the host of these intimate gatherings of my three friends and myself. We are very good friends, you know, and not young anymore. We enjoy these meetings together, reliving the past, breathing youth into old memories. I always make my friends comfortable. I assure you that you too shall be made comfortable if you care to listen in on our stories. Now, perhaps you should like to hear from Major Gordon. Arnold Moss is standing by to introduce him.
Remember the last night you couldn't sleep? Remember the way you tossed and turned and perspired? Well, suppose you couldn't sleep for a week, or a month, or a year. Suppose you couldn't sleep forever. Major Gordon knew such a man, so stand by for adventure.
Hello, everyone. Yes, it's true, I knew such a man who couldn't sleep.
My experiences as a soldier of fortune and army officer have thrown me into contact with many unusual people. I met this man in question while I was attached to the Chinese army as a liaison officer. And I learned later that he was directly responsible for the death of an arrogant enemy commander who had conquered a territory in which this man lived. Shortly afterwards, this enemy commander began finding poison in his food, snakes under his pillow, time bombs in his closet. No matter where he turned, no matter what he did, he always discovered some clever device to take his life. A dozen times a day, he narrowly escaped death. In despair, he once shouted, "What sort of a man is this that haunts me? How does he get the time to plan these fiendish schemes? He must never sleep." How true. His adversary never slept. In a duel between a normal man and one who doesn't sleep, what chance has the normal man? The man who doesn't sleep has so much time. Well, that is one of many stories I shall tell you in this Stand By for Adventure series. Stories of armies in the field and heroic civilians who fought side by side with their soldiers for liberty and security. But now I think I ought to relinquish this microphone to Arnold Moss, who will introduce Mr. Richard Moore.
Take a man, an old man, and place him in a cell. Lock the door tightly behind him. Make sure the iron door is bolted. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that the sickly old man could do no one any harm. He looks powerless behind those bars. But don't fool yourself. Someone will die before morning. But Richard Moore knows more about it than I, so stand by for adventure.
This is Richard Moore speaking. I've had a pretty full career as a newspaper man. I guess my press pass has been more a ticket to adventure than anything else. But the funny thing is, no matter where my syndicate sends me, I invariably get mixed up in a murder. Don't get the wrong idea there. I mean, I don't commit murders. I just stumble over murderers, like the case just presented. You see, they had locked this old man in his cell after a futile attempt to question him. He was already suspected of one murder. In an effort to learn something, a police officer posed as a criminal and was locked up in the same cell. The old man did not move from his bunk all night, yet morning found the police officer dead, poisoned. They searched the old man, but to no avail. He had been carefully examined before he entered the cell, too. Then I volunteered to spend the night in the cell. I had an idea, and my hunch was correct. In the middle of the night, I was awakened by the patter of tiny feet. But I tell the complete story in the program called Death is My Cellmate. So, there's no point telling it to you now. Well, I guess I've hogged this stage long enough. I'm sure you'll want to hear what Captain Quigley has to say. As usual, Arnold Moss does the honors in his own inimitable way.
What sort of noise does a sea monster make? No, that's a boat. No, that's a train. Of course not. Anyone would know that that's an automobile horn. I guess none of us has quite the imagination of Captain Quigley, so we'll just have to be patient and stand by for adventure.
Now, listen here, young fella. If you're insinuating that my imagination is a mite too strong, let it pass. Hello, folks. This is Captain Quigley talking. No other. Now, I'm just as skeptical a man as any afloat or on land. And I don't believe things easy myself. But there's no sense avoiding the issue. I really did see that sea monster. Lady monster it was, on account of no whiskers on her face. And I'll tell you something else, too, about that monster that would be hard to believe. That is, if I hadn't seen it myself. That sea monster was cultured. Yes, sir. Cultured. Now, I don't suppose they have colleges for sea monsters, but this one could read. Yep. First she read over my shoulder, but that wasn't so comfortable, so I propped up the paper on a rag so as I could read one side and she the other. Particular sea monster she was, too. Didn't want to read the jokes, only the editorials. Do I hear somebody raising any doubts? Well, I can't blame you if you are. I'm only giving half the story, mind you. When you hear all of it, you'll realize how true it is. I'll be able to convince you in just the time it'll take to tell the story of the cultured monster. And that ain't the only story I'll tell either. I once had a very unusual boat. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but this boat would never react properly to having her machinery oiled. unless the oil had a vegetable base. You see, the boat was a vegetarian. Well, I could go on this way all day. But I guess it's time to say goodbye now. So here's that skeptical young fella again.
And that's a thumbnail radio sketch of all four friends. There is
Dr. Juan Avillo,
famous South American scientist and philosopher, and
Major Gordon,
retired army officer and soldier of fortune, and
Richard Moore,
correspondent adventurer, and finally
Captain Quigley,
merchant mariner, who sailed the seven seas. These four friends meet often at the home of Dr. Juan Avillo. When they meet again and talk again, they invite you to listen in and stand by for adventure.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. I will be back next Tuesday with another hour. In between now and then, there's more old-time radio at relicradio.com. You'll find all the other podcasts there, past episodes from this show, link to the Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support the whole mess. Your donations make it all possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.